You're listening to The Movie Rubric, hosted by Timothy McDaniel, Cole Wright, and Jonah Jovan. If you like what you hear, consider following us on Facebook and sharing us with your friends. Now please, enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome back.
I almost did a clap sync and you counted down.
3, 2, 1.
I was like, wondering what you started to do. Welcome back to The Movie Rubric. We're not filming these episodes because we didn't really talk about it too much, but Jonah was like, should I film? And I looked, we don't really get many views on our YouTube videos, so I just feel like almost all of our views come from the podcast.
Yeah, if I get a better computer that can also that can render not in 8 hours,
yeah,
I would be but more
I just feel like it's all, yeah, so we're sticking podcast only. If you are one of the people who like was like, I really want the video aspect of it, let us know. We'll consider it again, but so far, no one has said that. We're not going to bother with it. So welcome back to The Movie Rubric. I'm Timothy McDaniel.
Cole Wright.
Jonah Jovan.
And now we are sitting down to record for Nosferatu. We just got done.
One are we going to release first? Are we releasing this one or first Slam Dunk?
I figured we'd do first Slam Dunk first.
Okay.
Because that was the where we literally talked about like what we did over winter break.
We kind of committed to it now.
Sent the boat out on that one. But no, we literally just got done recording our episode on the first Slam Dunk where we're filming these back to back. If you haven't checked out that episode, go check that out. I thought that that was a very enjoyable episode. We definitely, like, I had a lot of fun with that one. I feel like we...
a lot of tangents.
It was it was good to get back into the swing of things. So if you haven't seen Nosferatu yet, or maybe you're holding off, go check out that episode for sure. But this week, we're going to be talking about Robert Eggers' newest film, Nosferatu. So if you don't know, Robert Eggers is most known for The Witch. Following that is probably The Lighthouse and The Northman. And Cole's going to say that he's most known for The Lighthouse, but I disagree. He's most known for The Witch. I looked it up.
I mean,
Lighthouse gets memed more.
But The Lighthouse gets
memed. The Lighthouse, I think, has the meme power.
Yeah, it really does. This movie stars Lily Depp, who I didn't look up. Is that Johnny Depp's kid?
Probably.
I think so.
I meant to look it up, and I ran out of time.
Actor, I didn't know that. Depp, so I'm assuming.
You never know. Yeah. It stars Lily Depp, Nicholas Holt, Bill Skarsgård, and not really anyone else worth mentioning.
Bill Skarsgård is unrecognizable in this movie.
He killed it.
You said something about that after we watched it. I was like, there is no way that was Bill Skarsgård.
Was he in this movie?
Oh, I didn't even notice. I was going to keep going. Like, yeah, no one else, really, that I can think of.
I know.
Oh, and Aaron Taylor Johnson, too.
Oh, that's true. I know Cole is a huge simp, for a lack of a better term, for Willem Dafoe.
Dafoe brings it every time.
He really does.
He doesn't disappoint.
Dafoe is really good. That being said,
he loves what he does, and I can respect it.
Yeah.
I'll save that point. Save that point for here in a little bit. Someone asked me today, they're a movie buff, and they said, did you like it? And I said, yeah, pretty much. I overall liked it. And then they said, do you think it's something I should go watch? And I said, do you like Robert Eggers? And they said, I don't know. And I said, you probably shouldn't go watch this movie.
This has all the things that Eggers does in all his movies.
Yes. And he does them very well in this film.
Yeah.
But if you don't like Robert Eggers, probably won't like this movie. I will say I think it's the movie he's made that has like the most straightforward vehicle-driven plot.
Yeah. So I know when we initially watched it. So we watched it like at 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
I was
The movie technically started at 10:20.
But we know.
But really, we didn't start the movie until close to 11.
Yeah. I was sleep deprived.
Yeah.
I was not fully with it. I was trying to drink that icy just to keep me awake.
Yeah.
It was a rough time when you're half asleep.
I will say, like, As tired as I was, I felt like I personally didn't have a hard time staying awake. Like, it kept my interest pretty well.
I mean, it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, brain fog was kind of crazy.
Do you think you'd enjoy it more if you were like more awake, like
on a different viewing?
Okay.
I still enjoyed it when I was half asleep because it took me a little bit to kind of like put two and two together. It's like on Beavis and Butthead where the light bulb is just flickering, but it never quite goes
on. Quite goes on. Yeah.
Yeah,
are you Beavis or are you Butthead?
Yeah.
Nosferatu is crazy, man.
No, yeah, no, I agree. That's really funny.
Three of the worst impressions
ever. Yeah, that was bad.
That was really bad. Come back next week for more bad impressions. We got a Kaiba impression last episode. Yeah. We're getting Beavis and Butthead now.
Do impressions each time.
I'll work on something for next week.
You did Joe Rogan last episode too.
Yeah, you did Joe Rogan. Yeah, you yelled
Polar vortex. Oh, polar
yeah.
vortex.
Double polar yeah. vortex. Yeah.
yeah.
It's the season of impressions.
It really is. Gosh, what was I going to say? Oh, it's gone. The theater. I feel like I like to complain about the movie theater. And thank goodness the person behind me shares. They are my soul partner. Yes. I loved them. We were about 15 minutes into the movie and they had not turned off the side lights. And for a movie that's supposed to be as dark as it's supposed to be, I was like, what is wrong with you? And every time I go complain about it, every single time I've got to complain about it. So I know whoever, the person who was behind me is probably not listening to this, but if you are, you're my hero.
I love you.
We need to start handing out business cards at the movie theater.
Really.
We should, honestly, yeah.
I want to start interviewing people. I think that'd be fun.
Airdrop our podcast.
I want to start interviewing people. I think
that'd
be
smart,
fun.
Actually.
It would
yeah.
be. But I guarantee the theater attendant said this to them too. It's like, well, they're on a timer. Well, then your timer's
broken,
pal.
Bro.
Yeah, your timer ain't working.
It should be ready for when the movie starts.
Yeah. This is like...
We're like 20 minutes into the movie.
Like you know how long you got.
Like, this yeah, is like exactly. the 10th movie in the past like cyclical year, like 365 days that this has happened to me on, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm someone who can't even, like, if there's a light on in the same room, I need to go turn the light off.
Yeah.
The movie we watched at Molly's house Sunday... Big Trouble Little China. She had a lamp on the other side of the room, and I didn't want to turn it off because they have a kid, and I didn't want to like make the room dark. But there was a glare on the screen the whole time, and it drove me mm-hmm. mad. And I was like, "Ugh!" So my biggest problem with this movie was the theater. And then when they did turn off the lights, there was this weird greenish reflection.
Yeah, when it got dark, it was like three lines.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I don't know if that was a wrinkle in the screen, if that was a light reflecting weird from something. Problem. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it made me so mad. And once again, it's like I'm paying good money here, but I don't know. I'm just being old man yells at sky now.
No, I agree. The light's not dimming and the subs not turning on are my two biggest theater pet peeves. Subs especially. When the subs don't come on in a theater, I get so angry.
I'm less upset about the subs not coming on than when it just feels like there's an audio channel missing. So
yes.
It was really bad when we went and saw Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Mario. Well, you were in the same theater for Mario. Mario, no lower channel.
Yeah. Shang-Chi was just missing like a whole middle channel. Like the center channel was just non-existent. And that's happened 6 or 7 times. And they always say that everything's fine. And I'm like, it's not, though.
That irks me. That irks me so bad.
Like, it really isn't.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Like I paid
it sounds bad.
$13 for a ticket. By the way, you guys owe me $13. But, you know, that's...
I forgot. I'll pay you that.
I'm kidding. I'm Get kidding. Cole, put your phone away. I'm joking. So I do want to ask before we go into spoiler territory, Jonah, I have not read Dracula, but you said you have?
Yeah, so I'm trying to be like, actually here.
Yeah, so tell me, I'm going to read you what I got from a Google search that I did.
Well, I also like was looking into it after, about like the book and everything.
Kind of. You tell me what your thoughts are on this and then what you thought about the movie. So Nosferatu, the 1922 version, was the first feature-length adaptation of Dracula, but it was unauthorized and found in court to have infringed on Stoker's copyright. The vampire was named Count Orlok instead of Dracula, but the film largely follows the plot of the novel and is more faithful than many subsequent official adaptations. Do you feel that this movie was more or less faithful to the book?
I do think it was faithful, because when I read... at one point in my life, I was an English major for some reason. For one semester. I did like it.
One class.
For 6 months.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Technically, I was a weather and climate major then. I was a music major. I was art and cinema major.
Yeah.
I was all kinds of
majors. I was every major for a semester.
No, for one semester, I had all English classes.
Sounds miserable, man. I'm sorry. That sounds awful.
I jumped out a window.
One was poetry, one was creative writing, and those two were fun. On the bright side, the other three,
I could do creative writing. I could mess with that.
Yeah, that was a blast, and the teacher was awesome, and the poetry teacher was awesome. But this class was just literary analysis.
Okay,
so we had to read stuff and then write about it, write essays about it. But we read Dracula, and I actually liked the book. Dracula was pretty fun, and a good time. And I thought Nosferatu going into this, I haven't seen the 20s movie. I thought it was something completely different, like Dracula character based, but different. And then I watched, like, you know, this is like following the book to like a T.
Okay.
But everyone is named differently. I was like, I wonder why. Cause it's like almost exact. I think his name's Thomas in the movie, but in the book, it's a guy named Jonathan. You know, he's a realtor, goes to this guy, creepy castle in Transylvania. He disappears. His wife freaks out. Dracula ships himself on a boat. All the whole shenanigans happen there.
Hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues. It's very faithful. And okay. I was like, dang, like even to like some of the words, like I don't remember the exact words of the book, but like when like he's at Dracula's house or Orlok's house and he cuts himself and he goes like, wow, don't do that.
Yeah,
that was like
watch what you do.
Yeah, take heed what you do.
Yeah.
That was I remember that being in there, and it got the vibe really well. And like the whole like I remember the one thing that they taught us in the English class in the book was, I mean, minor spoilers, but not specific spoilers. Is that like Dracula is supposed to be like a sexual monster, like a like kind of vibe, and the movie really played into that a lot, like really well than I think I've seen most other Dracula adaptations do. The ending is different, but I kind of like the movie ending more, because even when I read the book in college, I was kind of like, yo, that ending is kind of buns, but this ending, I like this ending more.
So later when we start talking about the ending, tell me how the book ends, because I actually don't know.
Yeah.
So does anyone have anything about the movie they want to talk about before we dive into spoilers?
SpongeBob's not in it.
He's not in it.
Which was really disappointing. I think we all expected SpongeBob to be in it.
Yeah.
When he wasn't there, I know I was devastated.
I think his schedule didn't line up.
No, it was for Ratu.
Yeah, I think he was busy filming.
He wasn't flickering the lights.
He wasn't flickering the lights, yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird to me now, having seen this movie and then hearing what Nosferatu is supposed to be, knowing that that's the cameo character they decided to put in SpongeBob.
That's the first time I ever heard of him.
Just makes no sense.
It's but like, yeah, why it's they there, do it. It's random humor.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
I can see in their writer's room, they were like, remember that movie we had to watch back in, like, you know, in, like, film school or something?
1922?
Yeah, put him in there.
Yeah.
Put him
in
this episode at the end.
Have a little smile at the end.
Yeah.
I have something I want to say, but I'll say it in a bit. All right. Yeah, SpongeBob wasn't in it, but I'm also pretty devastated about that. But I think that's understandable. He was busy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you know, he was filming, you know, Mickey 17, his cameo.
Yeah,
on that
probably.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's not Mickey 17 now, I'm gonna be really upset.
Yeah.
He's now, you got my hopes up for that.
I know.
He'll be in it. Trust me.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and dive right in then. Wee woo, wee woo. Spoiler warning: we're going to talk about Nosferatu, apparently a movie that was made in 1922. So we can't spoil too much. And then when was the book written?
1890 or something.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Like it's going to be really hard to spoil too much, but jumping off what you said earlier, Jonah, about Dracula being a sexual creature, I feel like I've seen many adaptations make Dracula a sexual creature, but it's always like
he's hot.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
like
a good way to phrase it.
No, he's hot.
Like he's right though. I didn't know how to phrase it, but it's like someone that girls would be like, oh, you know what? Okay.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, hear me out, take.
Hear me out, cake. Yeah.
But, like, this Nosferatu was disgusting. And anytime he was being sexual, I was uncomfortable.
Yes.
The part where is it Thomas? Was that his name?
Yeah. I think in the movie.
He's
sucking
Thomas's blood and he's like dry humping.
Yeah, he's like moving
Thomas while he sucks his blood out of his chest.
The
I was like,
noise.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because I feel like too many Dracula adaptations or things that involve vampires make the vampires hot. Like, I think especially in a post-Twilight world in which we live, a lot of people have like a vampire fetish. And I feel like this one went back to the like, no, vampires are disgusting.
Yeah, they're evil.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So did you start to say something? I cut you off.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to also be sexual when you have that Ned Flanders mustache.
Yeah.
So apparently no one on set knew that Nosferatu was going to have, or Count Orlok was going to have a mustache until they saw him.
Oh my God.
Like in person. Like, no one knew what he was going to look like until they saw that. And I guess Lily Depp said that she like chuckled a little bit the first time she saw the mustache and caught her off guard.
Hi, Dilly Ho, neighbor.
I don't know why they did the mustache.
Is
that faithful to the time period? Because
so
no one else in this film had a mustache.
I don't know.
I saw an interview with, it was Skarsgård, Eggers, and Defoe. Talking about the movie a little bit. And they talked about Eggers wanted to do it. He didn't want to make like exactly what 1922's Nosferatu looks like. Like, when you think of Nosferatu, you think of the 1922 version.
I feel like they changed him a lot even without the
mustache. But you also got to think like from Dracula, like the original Dracula movie, to Bram Stoker's Dracula, where it's like a completely different look. That's kind of what they wanted to go with, like give it its own identity kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
He didn't want to just like rip off what the look was.
I didn't hate the mustache.
It was goofy looking.
It's a little jarring though. It's a little jarring.
It is very Ned Flanders-y.
Yeah.
Especially when he gets in the light at the end. Spoilers.
Yeah.
And it's all there. And he goes, wah!
And then he like
explodes.
Yeah. He like oozes out of every hole in his body, and there's a lot of holes in his body.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting ending.
Yes.
What did you think of the ending? Okay, so you started to say earlier that the movie doesn't follow the ending of the book. What is the ending of the book?
So the ending of the book.
I like that Jonah is our like, he's our man in the field. He's our researcher for this.
This is the only time I'll probably ever have knowledge on anything.
Let's go. We're going to see Dogman here soon.
True. I'll have some. I haven't even read that book.
Wow. Okay.
I'm a Captain Underpants universe fan.
Okay.
So, you know.
So tell us, how does Bram Stoker or Bram, as Cole called, I don't know which one's right.
I don't know.
How does the original Dracula end?
So from what I remember, it's been years since I've read it. So in the book, from what I remember, Aaron Taylor Johnson's character doesn't have kids. And then the Dracula does come for his wife, and they have the funeral. And then that scene where he goes into the tomb, I guess, she comes out of the tomb, and she's like a vampire now.
Oh.
And then something happens. Anyway, she like holds him hostage when he goes to visit her or something. I think he lives. Aaron Taylor Johnson's character lives. I think they kill vampire wife, and then Van Helsing. Well, who's William Dafoe?
Which is Willem Dafoe's character? Dafoe,
yeah,
they made him look like Van Helsing at least.
Yeah, I forgot what he's called in the movie, but in the book
he had a mustache.
The professor.
The professor or something. Yeah. I don't think the doctor guy went. The main characters, the main dudes go. Mm-hmm. The girl. I can't remember their names. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm bad with names. And I normally type out their names, but I forgot to do that for this one. So.
Yeah. Thomas's wife, I think she stays back. Anyways, they all... Dracula's, like, trying to escape because they're hunting Dracula down. And they I think he stabs him at one point. And then... So Dracula puts himself in another box, and he's trying to escape by carriage. And then they're, like, chasing him down. It's really, like, this long, drawn-out thing where they're chasing this carriage that's transporting Dracula. The three guys of Van Helsing, they all finally get to him, and then it's literally like the last page. It's like one more page. It's like, and then we found the box, we opened it, and we stabbed him, and he died. And the next book's like, yeah, and then we got married. The main guy. And I was like, that was the end of the book, I guess. I guess they killed Dracula. And then this one, they did the whole thing where, you know, the wife is dead, he kills the kids, Aaron Taylor Johnson dies, and then the whole thing about the plague wasn't in the book. And her having to sacrifice herself to, like, give herself over to this Count Orlok, that was all different. So it was very weird, but I almost thought it felt more, less anticlimactic than the book did. Where just, like, if we found him.
Everyone lives and gets married at the end, yeah.
Yeah, well, most people live.
Okay.
R.I.P. to the
people who did die from the plague.
Yeah, yeah. R.I.P. to the guy's wife that did die and get vampirized, but.
Well.
From what I remember, I could be misremembering that, but you know,
that's valid.
That whole thing with the plague and the curse and having to break this curse, I don't remember that being in there at all.
Well, let me kind of jump ahead a little bit since I asked Jonah about the ending. He brought it up and I asked him here, what did you guys think of the ending? Because I think the ending for this movie was very odd. It wasn't bad. It was weird. What did you think of the ending of this movie?
I mean, it's on par for what Robert Eggers does. He does weird endings.
That's valid.
Yeah. If it was normal, that'd be more concerning for Robert Eggers.
Yeah.
I guess...
It made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Extremely uncomfortable.
Made me uncomfortable. I just had the thought that was like, surely there had to be another way to kill this vampire.
Yeah.
Like,
you just gotta, you know, seduce him into a fun night.
Like, my thing is,
sun
is like,
comes up.
There he dies. Yeah.
They had his casket with his dirt in it.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't that the thing? Like, they have his casket and it has to be his dirt?
Something like that.
Yeah. Couldn't they have, like...
I need to rewatch it with, like, subtitles, because I couldn't understand what people were saying half the time.
Yeah. Couldn't they have, like, hid his casket?
Or something where he can't get to it?
Yeah.
In the book... That'd be kind of funny. Sorry, I keep bringing up... In the book, they camp his... They spawn camp his casket, and then they stab him. That's why he runs away, I think.
What a bunch of losers.
Like, why couldn't they do that, you know?
Weirdos.
Yeah. Spawn camping, for real.
Yeah, it was odd to me that they were like, all right, we have his casket. But also your wife has to get laid by him and die. And it's like, why?
Sorry. Yeah.
And then I kind of got the vibe that like maybe that makes him mortal. I don't know. But like it was kind of weird. It got into like prophecy territory without necessarily making sense to be in prophecy territory. So I don't know. I thought the ending was okay. It was probably the weakest part of the movie, in my opinion.
Agree. I like it more than the book ending, but I still thought it was not the strongest part.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Well, on that note, what does anyone have a favorite character that's not Nosferatu?
Van Helsing? Or whatever, really? Whatever the frick his name is. Yeah.
Defoe.
I liked him a lot. He was so good. He's the best character in the book.
I'm going to be honest, and maybe I need to watch it again, because like Cole said, we were all tired. Defoe's an amazing actor. I don't think that this was his best performance. Like, he did good.
I mean, when everything else is goated, I mean...
It might have been the writing. At first, I thought his lines just felt weird. His line delivery was really odd.
He's a crazy old man who knows a thing or two about what's going on, so he's going to sound insane.
Yeah.
Well, at first, I thought it was because he was talking old-timey, but then I realized that no one else talking old-timey felt odd. But it was the way Defoe was delivering some of his old-timey lines just felt off. Sorry, and maybe it's just me, but I just felt... I don't know. He was odd. He was not my least favorite character. That would be the husband with the kids who died.
Yeah. Joe Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost feel like what Cole said, like almost like he, since he believes in all the supernatural things, he almost kind of comes off as a bit of a weirdo.
Yeah.
Maybe. He's going to sound completely insane.
Yeah.
I'm fine with having a Defoe is crazy. Like, I'm fine with that. I don't know.
He does crazy really well.
Oh, yeah.
It was just odd. The way he delivered his lines, I thought, felt off. But I can't necessarily put my finger 100% on why that felt off.
A lot of it, I would have to rewatch this with subtitles. And that's the case for The Lighthouse and for The Witch as well, where it is in such a weird dialect. And it's, like, not 100% clear because it feels so, like, just... like natural conversation that you may miss some stuff also. So I'm going to need to do that as well. Like rewatch it when I'm not sleep deprived.
Yeah. I would like to rewatch it again. And I want to watch everything with subtitles. Like everything.
I agree. Especially now after I've used it for so long at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard not to sometimes.
Yeah. I agree. I thought the audio mixing was a little odd at sometimes.
That's
some
kind of an Eggers thing though.
Yeah. Well, okay. So so Van Helsing was your favorite character. Mine was Nosferatu, I think, hands down. Least favorite character? I said mine was the husband.
He was kind of a wet blanket.
Yeah. And he was just, he didn't make sense. He was just kind of the worst.
He was there. He existed.
Yeah, he didn't really do that much, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides die.
I mean, really the main ones I like were Thomas's wife, Orlok, and then Defoe. Everyone else, I'm just kind of like, eh.
Yeah. Regarding the wife, I saw this meme the other day, and I thought it was really funny, and I know it's audio only, so you guys can't see it, but it's like Nosferatu sniffing Lily Depp's neck, and she says, please, babe, have sex with me. I'm so horny, and he's looking away, and he goes, I must sell real estate.
Honestly, sums up the plot of the movie.
That's how I felt about the first half of the movie. I thought that was really good.
I felt like the movie, to that point, the movie doesn't really get going, for me at least, until he goes and encounters Mr. Orlok and tries to sell him a timeshare or whatever he was doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't even know what he was doing.
Yeah, when he goes in that castle, it's like...
That's when the movie starts.
The vibes go crazy.
Yeah, like, I think...
Everything else before that, I could honestly do without. He could just show up at the castle. I really wouldn't care.
Yeah. I think that almost would have been better. I think, like, everything involving the castle, the carriage picking him up in the woods, and the wolves chasing him, like, everything involving the castle was my favorite part of the movie. Like, if I had a favorite... I'll skip ahead. My favorite part... was everything involving the castle. When we're at, what's the castle called?
Castle Orlok? Is that what it's called?
Whatever it is. Like, little mountain castle that the Roman people try to warn him about. That's all my favorite.
That was great. That was all great.
The statues, like, turning and looking at him. The room slowly closing in. Yeah, just like
the vibe of Count Orlok was so good. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. But,
when he was like... Like, you don't really see him. He's, like, in the shadows. You kind of get glimpses of his eyes. Mm-hmm. And you see, like, his fingers just come out. And they're long and bony and
that
gross.
That, like, close-up of his eyes whenever he does cut his hand. He's like, heed what you do.
Yeah, and it's, like, and the castle is, like, castle is awesome.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite part also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the castle in general was just... Good. Skarsgård, let's talk about him, though.
Bill Skarsgård is just incredible. The whole family is incredible, and he killed it in this. He did.
That's another guy that does crazy and spooky really well.
Yeah. Apparently, isn't he making like an It TV series or something?
Yeah, they're supposed to do another one.
Yeah, and he has said that it's some of the most fun filming he's had, being Pennywise in the It TV series. So I'm excited to watch it, actually.
It's the one that's called Derry.
Welcome to Derry or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a prequel, right?
I think so.
Yeah. See if that's any good. No, Skarsgård killed it. The makeup and VFX team killed it with his makeup, like making him look gross. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's once again, sexual creature, but he's not hot.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a lot of stuff. Like, I really don't know, like, what is CG in this and what is not, kind of thing.
I think there was very, very little.
Well, in that interview I watched, they said there was, their goal was to, like, if there is CG used, don't make it obvious.
Yeah,
and the darkness helps that.
Yes.
When was there CG?
He didn't specify in the movie. I think it was it's a bunch of practical.
I didn't know if there was any. He even went on about saying, like, I saw an interview with Willem Dafoe, like, all the rats were real.
Yeah.
Oh, so, really?
Like, I guess he was talking about, because I guess Willem Dafoe made friends with some of the rats. He's like, the hardest part is, like, not stepping on them, and you have to be really careful. Like, they had spots where they're supposed to step so they don't crush the rats. He goes, it's really funny because they'd go from scurrying to every now and then some of them would, like, recognize him and would, like, pop up, like, look around, and he goes, and it's really hard to, like, be terrified of all these rats when, like, they're so cute, and they're, like, crawling up your leg to give you a kiss.
I would be freaking out.
That is a Dafoe thing you would say.
Yeah.
I like the little...
I like the rats.
Yes.
I love the bastards.
I think they're really fun. Yeah.
another impression.
Yeah. Another favorite part of mine, and this is going to make me sound awful, I'm trying to figure out how to say this nicely, I loved the child death.
See, man. I'm not the one that hates the kids man. Around here.
No, I feel like so many movies are afraid to show kids dying.
That shocked me.
Like, that's the thing. It was good. Like,
the screaming. Oh, my God. When
you heard the kids screaming, I was like, oh, that's dark. And I was like, I bet they're not going to show it. I bet the wife's, like, going to open the door. And the kids are either, one, going to be alive, scared in the corner, or two, she'll just, like...
They'll be gone.
Gone. And, like, whenever he just, like, dropped one of their corpses on the ground and there's blood all over the floor, I was like, honestly, good on Robert Eggers for not shying away from showing dead kids, because so many shows will not show dead kids.
It's a crazy sentence out of
it really is, but like...
I liked it when the kids died.
I don't like that. I don't necessarily like that kids... I do like the kids died. I didn't like... It's hard to say. So many shows will not show child death, or they won't even show kids get hurt.
No.
Yeah. Like, if a show has a kid in it, like, that kid's bulletproof. Like, a nuke could hit this town, and that kid's gonna, like, walk out of there and be like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like, I was really happy to, like, it's weird. It's a weird thing to say, but I enjoyed that.
Between this and Alien Romulus, kids and like, babies and movies, they're not safe anymore. Safe. Not safe anymore.
The Blob. There's a kid dies in The Blob. That's always, like, one of the first times I remember seeing a kid die on screen was in The Blob.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. Least favorite part of the movie? Do you guys have one?
Least favorite
part. Everything prior to the castle.
Everything prior to the castle.
Yeah.
That's valid.
It just felt like I had a hard time getting into it. I really it didn't pique my interest until it's like we're at the castle.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I think, like, even though, like I said, I wasn't a fan of the book ending either. The whole thing with the plague and the curse, I didn't think was super necessary. Like, I almost thought it felt a little out of place still.
You already have a threat coming. You don't need another.
Yeah, you already have the evil vampire. You don't have to make it to where the vampire is going to destroy the world.
See, I thought that was, like, kind of his purpose, though. Or at least that town. Like, he was going to, like, the mere minimum just, like, destroy the country. Like, the town and, like, the countryside and stuff.
I guess so. I mean, I thought it was more like, this guy is in our town. This vampire is going to terrorize people. We got to kill him.
Yeah, but, I didn't mind that.
But I didn't hate it, though. It just, if I had to pick a least favorite part, I thought that was a little odd.
My least favorite part is probably the weird sex scene. That, like...
Oh, between the husband and wife?
She's, like...
You'll never please me like he does.
Yeah, she's like half possessed, half not possessed.
That was just
she's weird. Going in and out of possession, and like, I don't know if my wife was like talking like she was possessed by Dracula in that moment. I'm not gonna be like, all right, let's go. Like,
maybe it's a kink of his.
It was just a really weird scene, and I had a hard time like putting myself in it. That was a weird one. I feel like I had one more, and I forgot what it was, so I can't remember it, so it must not have been that bad. But that was the only thing I put in my notes. That was probably my least favorite scene, but, like, I didn't hate it. It was just odd.
It ain't no you're fond of me lobster, ain't you?
Do like The Lighthouse. I think you were talking about Bill Skarsgård. Lily Depp really impressed me in this movie.
She's really good.
She crushed it.
It wasn't a bad performance, I don't think.
Yeah, anytime she was, like, possessed and having, like, a seizure, like, she did so good. And like the twitching and the eyes rolling back and just the way she acted, like it was really good.
Yeah. No, she killed it. Yeah. It was good.
She might have been my favorite character in this movie.
Yeah, she was great. She was like, really good.
If it wasn't for Nosferatu, she's probably my favorite performance, even though Nosferatu is my favorite character.
Yeah. I think I would say she had the best performance. She had some crazy scenes, like I said, with the possession and everything.
Yeah. Was there any other scenes you guys liked or disliked?
There's a lot to like in this movie.
There was a lot to like. Go ahead.
My favorite line in the movie. This kind of cracked me up is when Dafoe is like to somebody being a demon, and the doctor's like, the Aaron Taylor Johnson is like oh, you're talking mad or something like that, and then the doctor's like, he's talking in hyperbole, and he goes, no, I mean a demon. I was like, that's a good line.
That was good.
Yeah,
Dafoe with his giant pipe. I mean, that is.
There was one line in the movie that I thought was... I don't remember what it was. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch the movie and like write it down. There was one line that I was like, I want to clip that and like use it when we're playing Marvel Rivals. But I can't think of what the line was. There was a lot of good lines in this movie.
We saw this movie like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
been a while.
Been a while. We had a snowstorm.
It's been a while. Sorry.
We had a couple snowstorms since then.
Hold my
right the day before all this snow is about to come down, this ice and everything. It's like, guys, we got to get a movie in before we get iced in. Nosferatu it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'd been wanting to go see it, and I meant to look up. I don't think this movie is doing super well.
It's not exactly
it's not a bring your family to the theater kind of movie.
It's not even a really bring anyone to the movie kind of movie.
It's for the film and horror weirdos.
For the weirdos, yeah.
I might be wrong. Headline, Screen Rant. Nosferatu box office surpasses Longlegs Nab's major horror movie record. Nosferatu has broken a horror movie record by surpassing Longlegs at the box office. The latter movie, which is a smash hit serial killer, blah, 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 that grossed $127 million. Blah, 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 blah. The Nosferatu release came much later as Robert Eggers' remake, blah, 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 blah. How much did it make?
That's all we're asking.
I can maybe see it because, I mean, Robert Eggers has become pretty popular.
This will bring its cumulative global box office total to $135 million, surpassing Longlegs. So I guess it's doing well.
That's not bad for, like, I don't want to say art house, but a little bit more of an art house movie.
It's a very artsy movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this like a blockbuster.
Not to the extent of like The Witch or
The Substance
or something.
Yeah.
The Substance brought in $79 million. Night Swim brought in $54 million. Who went and saw that movie? No. That movie looked terrible.
Night Swim? I don't
even looked awful. And then
happened.
Yeah, Heretic brought in $51 million.
Dang, Heretic should have done. I think
Heretic got done dirty.
I can see that, though. Like, it's A24. It's kind of an unknown.
It's artsy.
It doesn't have the, like, the name drop power that Nosferatu has.
It's not going to be Halloween 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I meant to, and I'll
put this. Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, let's not do another one of those.
They're doing one. I'm sorry.
Oh, terrible. You know they're going to make it.
This year.
Aren't they already working? Yeah, I was going to say, I think they've already filmed it.
They got Wicked 2 coming out also. That's...
Yeah, I didn't see Wicked One, actually. Wicked
One was honestly really good.
As I say, I can't be a hater.
I don't like musicals, but I enjoy
it. I actually really want to go see the Wicked movie. I don't like that they split into two parts, and I don't like the fan base surrounding the Wicked movie.
Well,
I don't want to say anything without seeing the movie, but I agree. The fan base seems odd.
Like when I scroll TikTok and I just see someone like...
space for the lyrics or whatever crap they're saying.
Yeah, when I scroll TikTok and I just see someone like sobbing in their car... being like, the movie changed my life, and they're just like ugly crying. It's not turning down their face. Yeah. It's like,
I saw one. And it was, I took my dad to see Wicked. This is a full on middle aged dad, and it's the end of the movie, and he's literally like, I mean, people are gonna be able to see this freak little thing when he's in the chair, and they're like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, dad.
I thought you chill for some out a reason. Little bit. I thought you meant you took your dad to see Wicked, and I like to see like you and your dad going to see Wicked.
Joe, I might like it.
Would he?
He wouldn't hate it. He would. I think he would have no feelings for it.
He'd just be stone cold the whole time.
One of my good friends went and saw the movie, and he said that there was a group of girls in front of him who, after the movie, waited for the credits to end, and were perfectly fine, and then pulled out their phones and were like,
started filming themselves.
And it's like, come on now. And, I believe this man. Like, this is not one of those guys who, like, makes up a story.
I believe it.
The movie was good. Wasn't that good, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like I said, I don't want to say anything about seeing it, but
I feel the same way about that as I feel about people who like film themselves crying in their car to like a Taylor Swift lyric.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like
tangent's insane.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Is it that good? Come on now.
Oh yeah, we were talking about Nosferatu, my bad.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, you know what? That kind of like I was a little worried this episode to be short because there's a lot of vibes to this movie.
We can't do it justice.
Yeah, there's a lot of vibes to this film that I don't necessarily like, and I don't know how to talk about it. Like, a lot of the movie is vibes. It's Robert Eggers. It's like, how do you talk about
his
The Lighthouse?
Thing is vibes.
Yeah.
Someone asked me today who Robert Eggers was because I was talking about how I said we're doing an episode of Nosferatu tonight. And they were like, what's that? And I was like, it's the new Robert Eggers film. And they were like, who's Robert Eggers? And I was like, have you seen The Witch or The Lighthouse? They were like, no, I've heard of The Witch. What's The Lighthouse about? And I was like, ooh.
Where do I begin to start with that?
Bad luck to kill a seabird. Yeah. It's like, I don't...
Defoe and Pattinson losing their minds in a lighthouse.
And that's actually what I said.
Black and white.
I said it's about...
And it's really... It's artsy. It's well acted. It's completely insane, but I unironically enjoy it.
That's literally what I told them. I said it has two characters in it. Only two characters, and I said, and I actually interpreted the movie to be Robert's character going insane. Maybe they're both going insane.
It's like, they're both unreliable narrators.
Yeah, I said it's a movie where Robert Eggers' character is slowly descending into madness.
Robert Pattinson,
yes, thank you.
Well,
my bad.
Maybe
too many Roberts, too many Roberts. Maybe Eggers too.
Yeah.
The only Eggers film I haven't seen is The Northman, and I really wanted to see The Northman.
I've not seen it.
Never got around to seeing it.
I didn't watch it either.
I heard it's completely insane as well, but it's Robert Eggers in a nutshell.
Maybe we have a Northman movie night. We watch
Iron Claw.
What are we up to, like five Iron movies? Claw.
Big Trouble, Little China.
Big Trouble, Little China, Look Back, and The Northman.
What a quad feature there.
What are you guys doing Martin Luther King Day? What are you doing Monday?
Honestly.
Is that coming up? Maybe not.
It's Monday.
Is this Monday?
Yeah. Jonah, are you racist?
I think I have to get back to you on that one.
It's a callback for the record.
I was trying to think of something callback. Cool to do, but yeah.
Well. Yeah, so I was going to say, I don't have too much more to say about this movie. I overall enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I want to watch it again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my rubric based off of this viewing.
Yeah. Not what I'm going to anticipate it being.
Yes, you know? Although I might regret this. It might be that I think it's worse on a second viewing. I'm anticipating enjoying it more when I can watch it, one, with all the lights off. Two, my TV screen does not have a giant, like, green line through the middle of it.
This movie was also, it's already a dark movie.
Yeah. And
it's tough to see.
Yeah. And then three, whenever I can have subtitles.
Yeah. This one you need subtitles, but that's also the case for The Lighthouse and The Witch.
Partial fourth, being well rested.
Yeah. Not it being 11 o'clock at night after you've been at work all day.
Yeah. So I'm fine to jump into the rubric if you guys are ready. I know we're at 40 minutes. We're not doing terrible on time. Do you guys have anything you want to add before we jump in?
I got nothing.
I think everything I want to add, I can add in this part. So
let's go ahead and jump in. I'm going to go to I'm going to start us off. I'll start with plot. Just a reminder, we changed the rubric just a little bit. We now have plot, acting, visuals, audio, and enjoyment. I'm going to give plot a 4. I think that for a Robert Eggers film, this had a very... It's the movie with the most normal-ish narrative. I definitely have some problems with the plot, and it really drags at some points, almost to the point that I want to give it a 3 because it really drags at a couple moments. I'm going to be nice and assume that's because I was really sleepy. But the vibes of the movie carried it through those dragging moments, so I'm going to give it a 4. Cole?
I'm going to echo what you're saying. I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Same thing. Feels like it drags. The stuff before the castle, I didn't care about.
You kind of tune out, careless about.
I was like, if this movie like feels like it's dragging, and realistically, it probably wasn't as long of like a time prior to the castle as I'm thinking it was. It felt like it drug on forever.
Felt like a lot.
I'm like, I want Nosferatu.
Give us the vampire.
Like, where's the vampire?
Give us the dick sucking vampire. Get him in here.
Sexy,
give us that sexy Bill Skarsgård. We did see some vampire peen.
We did.
Which I appreciate.
We did see penis.
And it's funny because Elena was like, where was the vampire penis? I was like, how'd you not see it? I was like, when he jumped out of the coffin, boy, my eyes, like, I'm straight, but my eyes laser focused to that wink. It's like, whoa.
You have to.
My eyes went like, popped into my eyes. It's like, vampire wiener.
Cartoon character? Like, what's...
I saw a picture of Bill Skarsgård holding that up, like, very proud of like that prosthetic penis that he wore in that.
Oh, it was prosthetic.
He said it. Yeah, he said he has it.
He's not hot. Because
it was like,
oh man.
He said it was like half, it was like, if you looked at it, it was like half decayed and like rotting away. I hope that's not his real wiener.
Hey, yeah. You got some other issues going on.
It kind of looks like if you have like a skin tag, like barely hanging on by like just like a little itty bitty piece, that's kind of like what his wiener
looks like. I kind of want to look up the picture, but also I kind of don't.
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe not. This is a kid's show.
Oh, is it?
Sure no, is. No. Joe, what are you going to give plot?
I'm going to also give plot a 4 as okay. well.
That's a bad take, but you know.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. Very, very against the grain here.
I know.
Kind of what I said earlier, I don't love the... I didn't hate it, but I didn't love the whole plague and this mystical curse they added. And it is a little slow at some points. It didn't bother me that much, but not enough for me to give it a 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, if we're now that characters are in this, characters I thought were great. Lee Depp was great. Well, I'll get into that more into acting, but the characters, even just in terms of writing, I thought were really great. Especially like the presence. Dracula was.
This
so
is the category that I think on a rewatch I would probably like less. Like I'm being lenient because I was tired. On a rewatch, I might knock down the plot more when I have a little bit more time to think about it. It's one of those that could go up, probably would wind up going down, but I'm leaving where I'm at for now.
Yeah. One plot thing that they did change, unfortunately, in the book, one thing that I'm sad they cut, when he's exploring the castle, like trying to get out, he does stumble into a room with 3 hot vampire ladies, and they cut that out.
That's in the Dracula movie, but I think the movie's called Dracula, and I think that one was, while very not faithful, I think it had that in there because I remember as a kid, that's like the only thing I remember from that movie was the 3 sexy vampire ladies. Cause I was like, I was probably way too young to be watching that movie. It was on TV and I was like, ooh, boobies,
yeah, boobies.
Bubbas. Yeah. So, all right. Now that Jonas Horn dogging is out of the way and he got that out in the open, Cole, what would you give acting? Just boss nats it up over here.
What category am I on?
Give me those vampire.
Acting's a 5.
Acting's a 5? Yeah, that's to be expected.
There wasn't a bad performance in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Yeah,
everyone brought their A game, and really, that's a lot of the case for Eggers' movies. The acting doesn't disappoint.
He does a really good job picking actors and picking them and putting them in scenes and giving them the direction they need to deliver these like S-tier performances. He really does. Jonah, you also 5?
Also 5. And when Dracula comes into a room and Skarsgård's in there, it's just like, you know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And Lily Depp also was crazy good.
Yeah. Well, I'm also giving it a 5. So, Jonah, why don't you go ahead for all the same reason. Jonah, why don't you start us off with... Excuse me. Why don't you start us off with visuals? Oh, wait. No, you started on this one. Cole, start us off with visuals.
Did I?
Didn't?
I don't think so.
No, Jonah can start this one because I started the last one.
Oh, my bad. I think I might have order on here. Jonah!
Aha!
Visuals, please.
Visuals, I think, is a solid 5. There were parts in this movie that looked like a painting. Like, there's the part where he is in the forest before he gets to the castle, and it's, like, really thick forest, and there's, like, a blue light in the back. And the stuff's shining through, and then when he gets to the castle, it looks like a gothic painting. This movie looks insanely good sometimes, like crazy good.
It does look really good. I'm right there with you. 5 visuals are a 5 for me. That is easily probably the best part of the movie, because I think the visuals with the audio really just give it this immaculate vibe that like Robert Eggers is just really good at, so... even if you don't like his movies, you have to recognize he has a very distinct and a very well-directed art style.
Yeah.
He cares about what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Passionate man.
Cole, are you also a 5 on visuals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I think this would look a lot better if it didn't have the giant green line down the middle.
Yeah. I'm not marking off points for that. That's
the theater. Here's the thing. It's a dark movie already, but that's also Eggers' thing.
I'm glad he didn't do it black and white.
Yeah. The Lighthouse, black and white movie stuff.
Yeah.
You're kind of disoriented. The witch, mm-hmm. another one where they did not really, they just used natural lighting, like they just filmed. So whatever it was outside is what it was. Mm-hmm. They didn't try to like change anything with it.
Yeah.
And it was filmed on, I think it was 35
millimeter. Is that what you're looking for?
35 millimeter film is what they said in that interview.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is neat.
I'm not into all like the the video stuff like you guys are, but like,
yeah. No, you're good. I'd be honest, I don't know a thing about like how the film affects things differently.
Not everyone can be Tommy Wiseau and do it all, but
we made a really big deal about going to see Oppenheimer on the original 70 millimeter, maybe a number, because there was only like so many made.
Yeah.
But like, I couldn't tell you what that actually does.
Yeah. For it looked good. I mean,
yeah.
The best I've heard is grabbing, it just looks crispy.
He actually turned into Porky Pig there for a
second.
I just heard like it looks crisp.
It does. It looks very crisp.
The movie did look crisp, even though it was really dark.
It does look really crisp. All right, I'll start us off for audio. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to give audio 3. I know. The soundtrack was extremely forgettable, which breaks my heart considering this is like such an iconic-ish movie. I don't think I could tell you a single moment where I thought this song sounds good or bad. It was almost non-existent. And then we talked about the lines being hard to understand. And that might, I'm going to attribute that to mixing and not necessarily character performance right now. So this is the category I'm going to ding it the most. I'm going to give audio a 3. I really look forward to watching this on my sound system with subtitles. And maybe that will go up, and maybe I can pay attention to the soundtrack more on a second watch, but on a first viewing, the soundtrack was extremely forgettable, almost non-existent. So, Jonah.
What do we mean? Okay.
Audio.
I'm going to go audio 4. I agree. The soundtrack was pretty forgettable. Not very many like music tracks that I like recognize, but I'm going to put up to a 4 just based on the sound design. Like when he's sucking blood and you hear like him like gulping the blood down. He goes, I can't do it. when he's like, you can hear like him attacking the kids.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, or like... it's like boat the scene. The
not really trying to change crispy. Your score, but like the kid scene, I distinctly remember. So like you hear the kid screaming in the distance, and I didn't feel like they utilized the theater sound system for that.
Like in the background?
Yeah, I feel like I should have heard the kids like off in a distant room. Because that's something I love about theater sound systems is like their sound system is way better than mine. I felt like it should have sounded like the kids were behind several walls like in the distance. And I just felt like they didn't utilize the surround sound system enough.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just me.
I think you could be right, because I think that would have been really good. I'm thinking more like the way that the sound effects sounded.
That's fair. That's valid.
Because if they did use the surround sound, it might even be higher. But I'm going to go 4. I could be swayed to a 3, because I also can't remember a single musical track.
I'm not trying to sway you. Yeah, you're good.
I'm just going
to
go with a 4 for now. Okay. But that could change.
Cole?
I'm going to go 4 as well.
Okay.
Very good sound effects. I think the music, for what there was, it seemed like there wasn't a whole lot, but it was very ambient. And it gave you the vibe. It helped with the vibe. But with the dialogue, like your argument on that, of giving it a 3, I just think that's an Eggers thing. Like with it, they're not enunciating, it seems like.
That's
the thing with the lighthouse, thing with the witch. I'm sure it's with the Northmen as well. Like these different like dialect kind of things.
Well, even if it's not a different dialect, like I just feel like Eggers, you're right. It is an Eggers thing, and it's my least favorite part about his directing. I feel like his dialogue always feels very muted. It's flat. I don't know how to describe it.
Unless you have subtitles on.
Unless you have subtitles on. I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like however he does his recording of dialogue, it always feels like it's very, just doesn't have a lot of depth and it's not very clear. And that is probably my least favorite part about Eggers directing something is his dialogue. But, you know, I still like him as a director, even though that's my least favorite part. All right, final one. Jonah, bring us home. Enjoyment.
This one's actually kind of hard. I'm going to go with a 4.
Okay.
I really liked it. I had a good time with it. It made me uncomfortable, but it was supposed to make me uncomfortable. And I kind of like that. I think there is some parts, like you guys said, maybe aren't the most exciting, especially the beginning, maybe. But I really liked it. It was a very fairly faithful adaptation for the most part, in a good way. Yeah, I liked it 4.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
I'm also going to go 4. I left the theater thinking that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I'm being a little nice here. Probably will enjoy it more in a second viewing, but for a first viewing, I mostly enjoyed the movie. I thought it was pretty good, despite how tired I was. So I'm gonna give it a 4. The vibes were immaculate. They were there. I liked it. Cole?
Same thing. I'm going 4 for all those same reasons.
Aren't we just agreeable little goobers?
We're actually pretty agreeable on this movie. Yeah, yeah. We're kind of all across the board. So, alrighty,
watched Dogman. I imagine it's not going to be.
Oh, hey.
Maybe I'll hate Dogman. We don't know yet. I'm just avid anticipator.
I have things to say about Dogman, but for just a second, I gave this score or this movie a 84. Cole gave it an 88. Jonah gave it an 88. I was a little negative Nancy on this one.
Wow, hated this movie.
Total score to 86.6. We'll bump it up to an 87%.
Solid movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed this.
Yeah. We ranked Heretic higher than this. I wouldn't have expected that, but there it is.
Really? I would probably, if I was sitting down to watch a movie, I would watch Heretic.
I would agree with that. I feel like that
Heretic's a better, like a just casual watch.
I feel that way about most Robert Eggers movies. Like, I enjoy them. Watching that again anytime
soon. Unless
it's
The Lighthouse on New Year's Eve. That's just a good time.
It's like, okay. It's like kind of like The Whale. Love The Whale. Not sitting down to watch that anytime soon.
Yeah. I don't know. I almost would rather watch this than Heretic. I like Heretic a lot, but Heretic kind of like really makes me think deep about, you know, spiritual things and stuff. And I don't know if I like that as much. But then again, this has, you know, Bill Skarsgård dry humping Nicholas Holt.
You would rather have that?
I don't know. That also makes me uncomfortable.
I forgot to mention this earlier. I like Nicholas Holt, but I feel like I haven't seen him do anything big. So it was good to see him get...
He's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, it's good to see him get this role and do a really good job in it. And I'm excited to see how he does it as Lex Luthor in the new Superman, because
I think he'll be good.
I do think he's a pretty good actor. I just think he hasn't been put in a lot of things that really let him shine. I think the thing that's let him shine the most has been a show on FX called The Great. If you haven't watched that, I really like the first season of that. It falls off a little bit towards the end of the second season, but it's a pretty good show. But all right, brings our total score to 87%. There it is. I forgot to do the point for Slam Dunk, but that's okay. That's all right. I don't know where it was, so we'll just keep it at 92. All righty. Dogman.
Yeah, what's your beef with Dogman, bro?
You told me you were excited for this movie.
Kind of.
I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a poster for it, and I went, oh, okay. And I had a little bit more of an idea what to expect. And then I saw a trailer for it.
I'm not excited
for this. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. But I was like, oh, my Lord.
I mean, I'd go see it.
Here's the thing. I said I never read the books. It's purely based on, I was like, oh, this is kind of Captain Underpants adjacent, which I do like. So
you're not selling me.
I don't know if that makes me want to watch it more.
But it's a different continuity, though. Kind of. It's weird. I explained it before.
I didn't hate the Captain Underpants movie.
It's been getting hated on for the past year and a half.
I just think you overhype it. I think you hype it up too much.
It's a 7 or 8. It's a 7.
That's
six. It's a 6 or 7.
It's a 4 or 5. Let's be real.
It's like, I think when I put in a movie and I gave it like a 7.5 or
maybe
7.
We do a rubric episode on Captain. Hey,
add it to the Martin Luther King Day binge.
Yeah.
Are we going to stream this? Like,
how did you guys celebrate equal rights? Well,
Iron Claw, Big Trouble, Little China.
Yeah.
Imagine this. Underpants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Professor Poopy Pants.
Man, that's so funny.
Such an icon.
Iconic character.
Iconic movie rubric moment.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, on that note, we're probably going to go see Dogman soon. We talked about maybe going to see next week.
Wolfman?
Wolfman doesn't come out for a couple weeks. What was it? A Better Man?
Well, Better Man. Wolfman comes out this Friday.
Oh, I'd actually be down
Dogman's
to see.
Dogman's a few weeks away.
I would be down to go see Wolfman this Friday.
I'd be down for
Better
Man, too.
Then.
Woo.
So, I don't know why that was awful. That was cringe.
Alpha
so,
Wolf.
Look forward to
Alpha
that.
Alpha and Omega.
Ooh. You guys have any closing statements to add?
March Madness is going to be crazy.
March Madness is going to be crazy. So, Cole, why don't you tell us what we're doing for March Madness?
So, last year it was such a good time, us doing our movie night picks for March Madness, put them all in a big bracket. This year, it's going to get a little bit more personal. Because there were some hurt feelings last year. No.
Arr.
Never.
Yeah. Tyler cried about it for the last year.
Yeah.
Over 2 towers in his first round exit. Shocked. I can see right now he's about to tear up. It's like he just got finished watching Wicked.
I'm not going to tear up. It's just, I know in my heart of hearts, in the deepest part of my inner chambers that you snubbed it just to make me upset.
I didn't snub it. I would rather watch Small Soldiers than Two Towers.
That's crazy.
You asked me to pick a movie right now, like, hey, watch one of these movies.
Which one's better? Oh, listen, we're getting into it now. We're going to wait. I'm going to pause. I'm pumping the brakes.
But I imagine this is going to be the Two Towers Revenge Tour for Tyler.
You know what? Two Towers isn't even my number one. Actually, I changed it. I didn't tell you what. I have a different number one that you might not even expect.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do for March Madness. We're going to have Josh on. Josh is going to come back for the special.
It's true.
This is going to be kind of a two-parter kind of thing. So part one is going to be we're going to have a draft. We're going to have 64 movies, 16 picks each. We're all going to pick a movie from last year's bracket who we thought should have won. Or if someone wants to pick the defending champion Spider-Man, they can go ahead and pick that too.
I know that's what Cole's picking.
Spider-Man.
Spoilers. Yeah. The other 15 are going to be movies that are our personal favorites.
Mm.
So it doesn't mean necessarily you're picking, like, this is my favorite movie, I'm picking it number one. It's just your top 15 in general.
Okay. And you can draft them in any order.
Like, so but here's the kicker also. There can't be any doubles. So if I pick, I'm just going to use Infinity War as an example. If I pick Infinity War and Jonah also has Infinity War on his list, Jonah cannot pick Infinity War.
True.
So you got to also have some reserves ready.
Yeah. Then I'll throw in Captain Underpants.
And it's going to get first rounded.
Yeah, it's not going to matter because Jingle All the Way is going to be in all these movies.
Sure. So this is also why, because I want to see these crazy top 15s.
Crazy matchups.
Yeah, crazy matchups. And also, I want to see just like when someone's movie goes out. Because last year, there were some movies we liked that got out and it lessened some reactions. Every one of these movies has some sort of weight into it because it's all personal favorites. So there's going to be fighting tooth and nail for...
I'm really anxious about this episode, if I'm being totally honest. I think it's going to be good, but I also feel like I'm going to need to like go back on my blood pressure medicine.
it's going to be an entertaining episode for anyone listening.
Yeah.
Do we have a prize?
Why don't you... Oh, that's a good question.
For someone's movie, whoever's movie wins?
What's the prize?
I don't know, $5?
How about a triple Sonic queso smasher?
I don't want a triple Sonic
queso. That feels oddly specific.
I'm hungry.
You may want that.
Yeah.
A fast food burger of your choice.
Why don't we all go out to eat? Good. We all go out to eat, and the winner gets his dinner paid for.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That sounds. Yeah, we can like split it amongst everyone else. So yeah,
I like that.
That way, I only have to pay like $3 or $4. You know, like I think that'll be good.
Okay. Until we go to the Hideout or something. I mean, we don't Sam's find Steakhouse.
Let's go.
Don't find out where we live.
Cole. So there's gonna be four of us. There might be ties. How are we doing tiebreakers?
So we're gonna start gathering up some people that are gonna be on call. Just random people that are in our lives that may know a thing or two about some movies, may not. Could be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to randomly spin. If they get landed on, they have to be the tiebreaker for that.
I think it'll be
good.
And
there could be situations where we call someone and they've only seen one of the movies.
Have to pick a movie.
Unfortunately, they're going to have to pick a
film. Yeah. I do think we need to make it where they've seen one of them. If they haven't seen either of them, we call someone else.
Yeah, which we don't know until we will call them, but we'll see. It's going to be a big deal, though. So we're going to do one episode is going to be just the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then one episode is going to be the bracket.
I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to try to film that one. I've got some ideas for how we can make that work.
Mm-hmm.
And for the time being, look forward to that. In the meantime, if you liked this episode, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Please tell your friends about it. Like us on Facebook. Share this with other people. We do this for fun. We're not here for money. We hope you enjoy it. And we hope you can share it with other people. Any closing comments, guys? Any closing statements? What impression are we going to end off on?
Should we count Orlok?
No, I think you need to do your Hotel Transylvania.
Okay. Give us your Hotel Transylvania.
Jonathan, you are kissing my daughter. Blah, blah, blah.